Hello and welcome into this edition of the Golf Channel Podcast with Rex and Lav. That was a wild, that was a wet, and that was a windy third round of the Open Championship. And Rex, I want to start with the stat that I recited on Friday night's podcast. We're heading into the weekend. 39 of the past 44 Open champions were at or within the top 10 heading into the final two rounds. You scoffed at that. You did not like the trends. You did not like the statistic, which, of course, were courtesy of our stats guru, Justin Ray. After this day, I finally relent. A mea culpa. I should not have possibly known that the most hellacious conditions that Scotty Scheffler has ever played in his entire life would break out at Royal Troon. And now we have an absolute quagmire and an absolutely wide open Open Championship heading into Sunday.
Look at you. Capitulate right off the top. You're not even going to wait for me to get into it, because I think the point I tried to make last night is we don't know, I guess we kind of did know, what the weather holds for the guys teeing off in the afternoon. The weather was good in the morning, and we saw some really, really good scores from Justin Thomas and some others coming out early, firing, getting a lot of birdies on the board before the rain came and before the winds came. And by the time the leaders teed off and got towards the middle of their rounds, it became very, very difficult. That probably isn't the most difficult round most of these players have played, and Scotty did say it was the most difficult he's ever played, and then he stopped and he said, I probably shouldn't say that. Billy Horschel referred to a round at Carnoustie a few years ago. He referred to a round here in 2016 during this championship when he shot 85 on that Friday afternoon when we had that real lopsided cut. But it was not fun. And those are always enjoyable to watch from a spectator standpoint. I mean, it's kind of this perverse joy I think we all sort of sit into, because you want to see the best players in the world struggle. But when you hear Scotty Scheffler talking about hitting a good drive on the 18th hole today and then have a 3-wood in, no, I think it was a 3-iron in on 18, that came up 20 yards short or 20 paces short, that to me shows you how difficult this is.
And keep in mind, the weather forecast called on Saturday for the temperatures to be slightly lower. They certainly called for rain throughout the mid to late afternoon. That certainly happened. The biggest difference, Rex, that happened on Saturday that I think was unexpected was the strength of the wind and the direction of the wind. If you look at what happened on the opening nine holes, which is traditionally, historically, the easiest nine holes at Royal Troon, there were still plenty of birdies to be made, even in the rain. What happened was once these players got to the back nine, which again is historically the more difficult nine holes, the wind started gusting to 15 to 20 miles an hour. You couple that with temperatures that were in the 50s, and all of a sudden you have players going driver off the tee, driver off the deck, and being unable to reach par fours. You had Scotty Scheffler hitting 3-wood into 17 to a couple feet. You had Shane Lowry legitimately concerned that he would not be able to reach the fairway on the 18th hole. You just look at some of these nine hole scores that you're seeing from these last couple of groups: 42, 38, 39, 40, 42, 40, 41, 40. Like, these are the best players in the world who just got done having their rears kicked over the first 36 holes, which were entirely different conditions than they had played in practice rounds. But that was basically just the byproduct of wind. This was wind. This was cold. This was rain. This was hats turned backwards. This was basically throwing the yardage book out and just trying to hit as much club as you possibly could into these holes. It was a joy to watch, and I can't imagine it was a joy to play in.
I just looked this up, and this will show you how lopsided this was today, that the scoring average today was about a stroke and a half over par. All right, that's pretty good. Gives you an idea of how hard it was. On Thursday, when the wind was out of a different direction, but probably stronger than it was today, and we didn't have nearly as much rain, it was 3 strokes over par. So it's not as though the course itself statistically played harder over the course of the day, because, again, this goes back to the idea that for the majority of the morning before you showed up, because you had other things to do this morning, it was a lovely day. I think you enjoyed that lovely day on another golf course somewhere in the area. It wasn't until a little bit after the leaders teed off that things really started to deteriorate. And I can only imagine Sam Burns sitting at home on his flat somewhere here in Troon, just laughing maniacally at the idea that, oh my, they're all coming back to me, because he finished about an hour and a half, maybe even more than that, before the leaders. And he was well outside the top five, I believe, when he finished up his round. He's tied for second, and he won't be in the last group. I believe he'll be in the penultimate group. You did the math on this, so correct me if I'm wrong. But that's how difficult this was. And you're right. When you start to hear players talk about how difficult it is just to reach a fairway on a par four, just to reach a green on a par four and two, the way I think Billy Horschel's line was, there was five par fives on the back nine, and that doesn't count 16. When you hear guys, when you have Shane Lowry play driver into 17, which is a par three, and not reach the green, you get an idea of how difficult and demanding it was.
Now, although I did capitulate in the first 30 seconds of this podcast, I do want to point out just how unexpected this was. And there was some, I think, deserved criticism of RNA officials who probably did not foresee just how difficult it could be. Both Shane Lowry and Daniel Brown said they were shocked, if not disappointed, that some tees were not moved up in anticipation of this to make the best players in the world hit driver into par fours and still come up short. That to me is probably a miscalculation on tournament officials. It starts to get a little bit towards goofy golf and not necessarily producing the best players per day. This is my favorite tournament of the year. I love the randomness. I love the bounces. I love the style of play. I love sort of the questions that Lynx Golf asked. However, Rex, I do think there's a segment of the golf fan population that doesn't like this, that thinks this is ridiculous, that you look at the breaks that some players get, whether you're late, early, late. Obviously, there's a big disparity between late, early. This year, about 2.5 strokes easier. And you look now at this leaderboard as we transition to what Sunday is going to look like. You have Thriston Lawrence, who shot 65 and all of a sudden is in the final group. Sam Burns shooting 65. All of a sudden is in the penultimate group. You have Russell Henley shooting 66. You have Adam Scott shooting 66. You have Justin Thomas shooting 67. All of a sudden, those players who benefited by a quote-unquote poor first 36 holes, all of a sudden now they have a chance to win this golf tournament. I don't have that sort of viewpoint, but I can understand why some golf fans think that this tournament is a little bit too fluky for their liking.
No, and I get it. And look, not everyone likes Finau. I get it. Maybe this isn't your cup of tea. And if not, then just don't watch it. And we'll be back to, you know, what you're used to next week when you get back to the United States. I think that's the beauty. I think that's the genius of Lynx Golf, that you can end up with not only bad waves on Thursday and Friday when they're playing essentially for 14 hours. Of course, the weather's going to change. One wave's going to get better weather. One wave's going to get worse weather. We spent a lot of time talking about it earlier this week. But you can even do it on Saturday when you only have like a 8-hour tee time window. And I think that's kind of the beauty of it. It's the bounces. It's ending up on the wrong side. It's grinding it out. I think Justin Rose is a perfect example of why that side of the argument probably doesn't hold up, because Justin Rose has played on the wrong side of every single draw all 3 days. If you look at where he was Thursday and Friday and certainly where he was today, and yet he grinded it out. He's probably playing better than anyone this week, and he'll start tomorrow a stroke off the lead. So I don't particularly buy into that mindset.
Yeah, and keep in mind, to be very clear here, the players are not the ones who are grumbling about this. They may be joking about it. They may be joking about it in their flats once they get, you know, back home. But at least publicly, no one's kvetching about their bad luck. They basically figure if you're going to play the Open Championship 20 times, 10 times you're going to get on the bad side of the draw, 10 times you're going to be on the good side of the draw. I do think it makes for a very wide open, unpredictable Sunday that we do have on tap. Billy Horschel, Rex, is the 54-hole leader, just two top tens his major championship career, a 37-year-old who has won some big-time tournaments on the PGA Tour, former FedEx Cup champion, won some big-time titles on the DP World Tour as well, including the BMW PGA champion. How do you think Billy Horschel, in this spot for the very first time, will hold up under all of that Sunday pressure all of a sudden?
Just to circle back around real quick, Billy Horschel is a perfect example of what you were just saying. Billy Horschel was on the wrong side of the draw back in 2016, and that was the second most lopsided draw in the history of this championship. And yet this week he was on the right side. So you like to think that, okay, it's going to all pay out eventually. I'm not quite sure it does. I like Billy's chances on Sunday for the reasons I think you and I were both a little bit surprised of when you start digging into the stats. And he had a really good putting day on Saturday. He needed to. I don't know. I think he got up and down five times on the second nine, maybe six times. All of them were pretty impressive. The only time he did not, I believe, is on the 18th hole when he missed the green to the left. That hasn't necessarily been his strong suit maybe the last few weeks. But if you look at what he's done this season, he's top 15 on tour in strokes gained putting. It's been his ball striking really that's been good this week. And he's needed to hit the ball in the center of the club face into these wins, especially today. And he has had a chance to do that. I don't have a lot of confidence, and I think you and I are probably going to agree on this one. I think if I look at that leaderboard and if I can point to someone that I can have any confidence at all, it's going to be Scottie Scheffler, even given the fact he's two strokes back.
Yeah, just to keep it on Billy for a second, I think you and I were both surprised to learn that Billy Horschel, despite a putting routine and stroke that I think you would call, being generous, somewhat unorthodox. He approaches his ball somewhat cautiously, somewhat timidly. He's sort of staggering back and forth, trying to get in there. He has a very rigid, awkward-looking cross-handed grip. But Billy Horschel, since 2017, has been a top 51 putter each and every season on the PGA Tour. I can't believe that method works, but it does work for him. I thought the short game shots that he flashed on the back nine in particular were amazing. Couple bunker shots, a couple of sick up and downs. That's the reason why he is in this position. I think it's basically just going to be a mental battle for Billy Horschel. He has made no bones about it that he has been too hard on himself throughout his career. He has suffered through many ups and downs, peaks and valleys, emotionally trying to get right, not trying to put too much pressure on himself. He evoked the word legacy a couple of times in his post-round press conference, knowing how much a legacy would mean, how much a major championship victory would mean to his legacy, while also admitting in the past that has sort of clouded his judgment or clouded the way that he thought about himself as a player. I think all of those feelings are very natural for a player of his ilk, for a player of his age, to want to sort of have a capstone to his career of a major championship, just like Brian Harman did a year ago. I think that's very natural. A thing to think about and to ponder. I'll be very curious to see, like Brian Harman a year ago, if he can put that sort of in the back of his mind and play championship golf. I think that's very much to be determined. Xander Schauffele, just a single shot back, to me, has to be a serious threat. We talked about it, Rex, a couple of days ago. Xander Schauffele winning two major championships in the same season after being dogged for 6 or 7 years about the guy who could not close, about the guy who was basically just a bridesmaid. How much confidence do you have in Xander, knowing that he has done it more recently than anyone else on the top of that leaderboard, can pick off a second major on Sunday?
Yeah, I know I leaned into Scotty, but I think I would put Xander just behind him just because what Scotty was doing coming into here, he was clearly the favorite. But talking with Xander after his round today, you have to love where his mind is at. He embraced what he faced today probably as well as Billy Horschel. And certainly he loved what he was doing. Scottie Scheffler, kind of the similar vein, Justin Rose. The guys that are on top of the leaderboards are the ones that love that type of grinding. I think Xander called it brute force. He said it's hard to maintain that, but when you get in conditions like this, you have to double down. And he said he actually picked up a little bit on that playing with Tiger Woods on Thursday and Friday. And as bad as things went with it for him on Thursday and Friday on his way to a missed cut, Xander said he kind of watched. And you watch that perseverance even under really, really bad circumstances. And clearly he didn't have his game. You're right. I mean, whatever it is, he learned at Valhalla that he can apply to Sunday. And even he didn't know. He said, this is going to be the first time I'm going to be in this situation. So he'll find out on his own. You have to think that you would put him and Scotty 1 and 1A simply because of what they've already accomplished in their career and what they're able to do with their games.
Yeah, he's such a complete player, does not have any faults, hits it plenty long, hits it on the screws, a very tidy short game. Although he did not putt his best on Saturday, I don't think anyone outside of Billy Horschel particularly putted their best on Saturday. I have plenty of confidence in Xander Schauffele. I do think it would make a very interesting argument, which we could potentially be having on Sunday, if he does win a second major championship versus Scottie Scheffler's 6 titles on the PGA Tour, including a majors and a players, who actually is the player of the year in 2024. We'll put a pin in that and potentially discuss that on Sunday. I'm particularly intrigued, Rex, with Scottie Scheffler. I thought there was a huge 3-wood that he hit into 17. It looked like he was sort of leaking oil, getting frustrated on the greens. At one point, he said he missed his putt on 15 because some raindrops were dropping off the bill of his cap. He finally turned it around on 18 and made about a 5-footer to get in the house at 71. What have you seen out of Scotty that leads you to believe he can erase what is just a 2-shot deficit now as he heads into the final day.
I think you and I are both going to agree on this. I don't think we've seen Scotty play his best golf this week, and yet he's still right there. There has been frustration. You're absolutely right, but he hasn't seen the shots that we're used to seeing him hit. We certainly haven't seen the putter pay off like we've seen over the course of the season on his way to six victories. If that's the case, you have to think, even if he doesn't have that special round on Sunday, it's still going to be a really good round. And I go back to speaking with a swing coach, Randy Smith, yesterday, that he's not the type of player. And we probably had this conversation about Rory McIlroy and Bryson DeChambeau, who only wants to play one kind of golf, that wants to play from point A to point B and use their power and their height and their length to overcome and overpower a golf course. Scotty's not that way. He loves to work the ball in each direction. And talking with Randy Smith, he loves to see it come off in different windows. Most pros want to see it come off in the same window every single time. When it comes to Scotty, he wants to see it come off in the right window. And sometimes that's going to be low, under the wind, penetrating shots. We saw that today with the way he's using that three iron, which I know you love, and you can have that in your bag. And then sometimes when it calls for it, he can launch it high. And he kind of talked about it earlier in the week, trying to play it over the wind, which is sort of a weird philosophy. We'll see how that plays out. And let's face it, he's the guy with the most experience on that leaderboard. Xander has done it recently, but he hasn't done it as much as Scotty.
Yeah, I still have, just like Xander, plenty of confidence. I think the putting is a concern, but if you look at it sort of on the opposite viewpoint, he cannot putt any worse than he has at least two of these three rounds, and yet he finds himself to two shots off the lead here, Rex. If this becomes a ball-striking contest, if the wind does die down, we'll get to the forecast here in just a little bit, you have to think that he is probably the most capable of going 65, 66, leapfrogging some of the talented players who are ahead of him. Thanks to our friend Justin Ray, who, again, was mentioned at the beginning of this podcast. Here is today's stat of the day. Since 1960, 92% of the winners at the Open Championship have been within four shots entering the final round. At this point, Rex, that is 12 players on the leaderboard. Billy Horschel, Tristan Lawrence, Sam Burns, Russell Henley, Xander Schauffele, Justin Rose, Daniel Brown, Scottie Scheffler, Shane Lowry, Adam Scott, Justin Thomas, and Matthew? I almost said Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Matthew Jordan, who will win this Open Championship on Sunday? Because as history tells us, it will be one of those players I just rattled off.
Didn't we just start this podcast with you talking about how history is never wrong, and yet it was wrong today, clearly? I do think it's funny, and I want to rewind this.
It is not wrong yet. 39 of the past 44 winners of the Open Championship were within the top 10 heading into the weekend. There is still a very good chance that that comes to fruition. Sam Burns, of course, would be a huge outlier, as would Tristan Lawrence.
I was about to say that that changed quite a bit today. I will say it's funny. Adam Scott finished up his round about 3 hours before the leaders, played in the much better condition, shot 66, and he's at even par for the tournament. And someone asked him, what do you think about your chances? And he could not have been more dismissive. Like, I'm going to be 7, 8, 9 strokes back. I have absolutely no chance, but I enjoyed myself out there today. As I stare at the leaderboard, he's in that magic number that you just named, 4 shots back, tied for 10th right now. It's amazing how quickly this flipped, and I will just spin it forward to tomorrow saying that the exact same thing could happen on Sunday.
How about this, Rex? Sam Burns was tied for 96th after the opening round here at Royal Troon. If he goes on to win, that would be the worst starting position of any player, not just in Open Championship history, in men's major championship golf history.
You feeling that one from Justin Ray too?
No player had ever been in a worse position after the first day than what Sam Burns is, and yet here he finds himself in the penultimate group. Did you pick a winner? I don't think you did pick a winner.
Scotty.
Let's first talk about...
Okay. No, I did. I picked him at the beginning of the week. You think I'm going to change my mind now?
So I do think it's going to be interesting, Rex. The weather forecast for Sunday, no rain, so all the players, all the caddies, all the officials can dry out. Radar, our friend from Sky Sports, can dry out as well. But what's going to be interesting is the winds. The winds have picked up in forecasted intensity from 15 to 20 miles an hour when it was supposed to be just 5 to 10, and also the direction. It was northwest on Saturday. It's going to go back to southwest on Sunday. That's predominantly the wind that we saw over the first couple of days, when the front nine played more difficult, the back nine played easier. I love this golf course with the more difficult back nine playing in a more difficult wind like we saw on Saturday, but that does not appear to be the case on Sunday. I'm going for Xander Schauffele to be my champion on Sunday. Has the Open Championship pedigree, can hit all of the shots. He's putting it better than Scottie Scheffler has for the first couple of days here. And I also think the belief now that he now is imbued with after winning that PGA Championship just a couple of months ago can help carry him to a title. At this point, after this day, after the weirdness that has unfolded over these first 54 holes, honestly, I really don't know. That's an educated guess. At this point, it should be interesting to watch nonetheless. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of the Golf Channel Podcast with Rex and Lab. You guys know the drill, NBCSports.com/golf. We have plenty of news, notes, and updates and stories previewing the final round in addition to this podcast. Rex and I will be back on Sunday night for a full edition and recapping the Open Championship on Sunday night, most likely from our flat in Troon before we head on to our respective journeys for the rest of the week. Thank you guys for listening. Thanks for the support. Talk to you guys in 24 hours. Enjoy the final round of this Open Championship.